Good morning. So glad to be here with you this morning. My name is T.W. Davis. I'm the lead pastor here, and I am stoked to be finishing this series with you. This series is called Modern Disciple, and we're looking at Matthew chapter 10, where Jesus calls his disciples. And so far, we have that we are all to be disciples as Christians. There's no levels. If you're a Christian, you're a disciple. Done. So far, this chapter's told us that disciples are ready, they're tough, they're fearless, they understand rejection, and today we're going to talk about how modern disciples understand the goal and hospitality. In the 1970s, singer-songwriter Harry Chapin wrote a song called "Stop Singing These Sad Songs." It was a sarcastic response to critics who said he only wrote sad songs. He did, of course, only write sad songs. He wrote songs about unrequited love, troubled people. There was one about a sniper. He talked about family issues. He talked about workaholic stuff, kind of like Cats in the Cradle. And he didn't dispute the claim. He just found that there was value in telling those kind of stories. I think of that song today, that story today, because I wonder if I might need to preach a sermon called "Stop Preaching These Heavy Sermons." You might feel this series has been a tad heavy, and you might think that our preaching team has said some heavy things in the last few weeks, and I agree with you. I do too. And don't mishear me. I'm glad that we've done this series, because it needs to be said. And there needs to be a call to action, but it's been heavy. So because this series ends today, I have a present for you. All right? I have a present for you, but we'll get to that at the end of the sermon, all right? So you have that to look forward to. I want to begin today. I want to ask you to close your eyes, and I want you to recall a memory where sometime in your life, someone in your life, you witnessed the greatest act of hospitality. The greatest act of hospitality. Might have been one of the times you went to grandma's house when you were a kid. It might have been your host on a mission trip. It might have been your very first time visiting your future in-laws. I don't know your relationship with them. I don't know. But how you were received, what they did to make you feel special, and why they did it, it's because of those questions, the answers to those questions, that you still remember that today. You can open your eyes now. The lesson this morning from Matthew's Gospel is on hospitality. Jesus is so focused on helping people. Listen to these first two verses. Matthew 10, starting in 40. Whoever receives you receives me. Whoever receives me receives him who sent me. The one who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And the one who receives a righteous person because he's a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. We would like to think that if Jesus showed up on our doorstep, we would welcome him, don't we? That we would recognize him immediately. We would usher him into our home with joy. More than likely, we would bring out a meal to have with Jesus, knowing that good food usually brings good conversation, and it's Jesus, by the way. The gospel tells us he loves to eat. But what if Jesus showed up to the door and your pantry or your fridge were empty because you've been busy, haven't gone to the store? You hadn't had time to go shopping yet. What if the beds weren't made and the place was a mess? What if there was no place for Jesus to sit because every seat is piled high with projects for your work from home? Or unfolded laundry on the couch? Stuff. You know, you get the idea. Things that show you actually live in your house. Kids' toys all over the living room. Do you still welcome the King of Kings into your home if that's what it looked like? Of course you would. Sometimes dreams don't match reality, but sometimes we need to see things the way they really are. If Jesus showed up and you weren't ready for him, but he showed up at your house, of course you would welcome him in. It's Jesus. Why wouldn't you? What if it was a nobody and you weren't ready? Would you still welcome them in? Explicit in the words that Jesus said to us that we just read is the promise that if you show hospitality, you're going to get a prize. If you show hospitality, you're going to get a prize. In fact, whoever you show hospitality to, that's the prize you're going to receive, is whatever prize they're going to receive. That's how it works. If you offer a meal to a prophet, let's say Jeremiah, who was a great prophet, by the way. If you offer a meal to Jeremiah, then you're going to get whatever prize Jeremiah gets when he gets to heaven. Probably a good one, to be honest with you. Or if you offer a ride to a righteous person, a godly pastor that you know that's famous, whatever reward that pastor is going to get, you get the same thing. And if that's where Jesus stopped right there, then what we should be doing, the real challenge in life will be to search for people that we think are going to get a good reward in heaven and only help them. That if he stopped right there, that would be the logical conclusion. I mean, why waste your time showing hospitality to people like T.W. Davis when you could be showing hospitality to someone like Billy Graham or Mother Teresa or a missionary or Tyler Murphy? That's the logical conclusion to the words until you get to this last verse. Don't forget, context is key. Jesus throws us a curve. You want to hear this last verse? And whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of water because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. Water was a valuable commodity in the desert. Cold water is a luxury. The point Jesus is making is this: there's something to be gained from showing hospitality, and what you're doing is not hospitality. If you are helping someone that has wealth and has power, and they could give it back to you at some point, that's not hospitality, that's bribery. If you are only showing hospitality to relatives and friends, that's just paying them back for being your relative or your friend. That's not hospitality. Jesus said, if you do so much as give a glass of water to someone socially less significant than you, you will never lose your reward. Now, there's two interpretations to this part. The first is that when Jesus says the little ones, he's talking about believers in Christ, Christians, who are not a big deal, who aren't pastors, who aren't preachers, who aren't doing it for a job. They're not traveling around. They're living their everyday life as best they can as a Christian, and helping them is important. Good to show hospitality to everyone. I love this interpretation. But there's another interpretation that matches our baby dedication day. That interpretation that Jesus is talking about children. Children in Jesus' day were of little or no value. People didn't travel around town with a sticker on the back of their donkey that said, "My kid's an honor student at Jerusalem Middle School." That's not how it went. Children were nobodies in that culture. There's nothing to be gained by being nice to them. And Jesus says that's the ultimate act of kindness. Jesus defines hospitality as when you care for the little ones. Physically little, socially little. And that's what we're called to do as Christians. And just like we show in our baby dedication today, children are important. And we recognize that just like we should be showing hospitality to every person who walks in the doors of this church and every person who never walks in the door of this church. We should be showing hospitality to everyone. Jesus is all about showing hospitality, taking care, helping the least in society, the people that we honestly would prefer were invisible. If you look at Scripture, almost every time that Jesus talks about kindness or generosity or hospitality or welcoming, he isn't describing what ought to be done for the rich and the famous and the powerful. He's talking about what ought to be done for the powerless ones, the children, the grieving, the widows, the discouraged, the desperate. And if you show your hospitality to these little ones, your reward will never be lost. You probably already know the word hospitality comes from the Latin word hospital. And throughout most history, actually, hospital was not a place where you went to get better, where you went to get healed. It was until the 1900s that a hospital wasn't a place for life-saving surgery. It was a place to be comforted, a place to be fed, a place to be loved and touched and cared for. It's where we get the word hospice from. And it seems to me that God is calling the church be a hospice to hurting people in this world. Instead of spending so much time pointing out people's sins and criticizing them for their flaws and condemning them for life decisions that you don't appreciate and excluding them from church, from God, until they are religious like us, that's not what we're supposed to do. Instead of judging them, God has called us out to be out there loving them. God called us to be on the lookout for the weakest and the oldest and the youngest and the poorest and the loneliest and to offer them a cup of water. God's calling us to make them comfortable. But the reality is, if it makes us uncomfortable, odds are we don't do it. And I think that breaks God's heart. When I was growing up in rural Tennessee, or I'm sorry, North Carolina, my wife's from Tennessee, I'm wearing orange. When I grew up in rural North Carolina, whatever time of year it was, whatever vegetable was ready to be gathered, we'd do it, and then we would go in the garden, gather it all, and then we would go to my grandparents' carport or their front porch or this massive cedar tree in their backyard. And our neighbors would come and our family would come and we would, I don't know, shuck corn or string beans or scrub potatoes. That last one's the worst. And as we're doing it and all these people are there, people we go to church with, people that are our neighbors, everyone's there. We're having a constant conversation. How are your kids? Did they find a job yet? What did the doctor say? So-and-so is sick. How can we help them? Oh my, you're going to have foot surgery. I heard my grandfather say this. You're having foot surgery tomorrow? No worries. I'll plow your fields for you. That's what I grew up hearing. These are historically called front porch conversations. We don't have front porches anymore. We have decks that are in our backyard, that are fenced off. We're insulated from people we don't know, so we actually can't get to know them. And if God had a front porch, I bet it'd be big, and it'd be right in the front, and it would be on the busiest street you can imagine where people are driving and walking by, and he can see people as they pass by, and he can know their circumstances. And somehow, if we could be on that porch with him and see what he sees, we'd be moved to action. We'd be handing out water by the buckets full. And not because the water would fix their problems, or heal their diseases, but because we are called to show kindness. We're called to show grace and hospitality. I write these sermon series concepts about 9 months in advance so that I have the ability to pray over it, so our people, our shepherds, have the ability to pray over it. And for the 2 months before we started this series, I was losing sleep. Something was missing. Something wasn't right, and I couldn't put my finger on it, and I prayed about it, and I talked to our shepherds about it, and I talked to people outside our church about it, and I realized what was missing. This series is great. It's great. We're telling you that God has called you to be a disciple. We're identifying that God has given us marching orders. He's told us how it's supposed to be. He's told us to be ready because we're not alone. The Holy Spirit is with us. He told us we'll be strong when times are difficult. Be wise as serpent, innocent as doves, fearless in the face of danger, because God's the only one who ultimately determines our fate, and that's who we should be scared of. We're told we're going to be outsiders outside of our own homes and our families and our lives. And today we're talking about hospitality and welcoming Christians and non-Christians, those who are unable to help us pay it back. And I can tell you all those things. What does that look like when you go to work tomorrow? What does that look like when you leave here? Go out to lunch. The men in my family love to go fishing. Love to go fishing. Fishing's not my favorite activity, but I love spending time with my dad. I love spending time with my brother. My cousin's there sometimes. My uncle was there before he passed away. Did it with both my grandfathers. I don't love fishing. I love the people I'm with. If you spent any time around my dad or my brother, you know we like to cut up and joke and pick with each other, and sometimes it goes a little too far. And when we go fishing, and I've reached my limit, and not I've caught enough fish that I can't catch anymore, when I'm done fishing, all right, we've been out here too long, when I'm done and they're not, then I start picking on them. And when we were in Norway, we were fishing from a bank. I was done. I didn't catch a single thing. We were fishing in Norway, and my brother is there, and I thought, well, this is funny. So I walk up beside him, and he's fishing, and I say, well, there's one, catch it. Oh, there's another one, you should catch that one. And keep going until he's done fishing. Now, I wasn't fishing, but I was a spectator. And I was standing there telling others what to go for and how to do it. Isn't that annoying? Isn't that counterproductive? My brother sure thought so. Jesus said that his disciples, that's us, are to be fishers of men. And this series on modern disciples has been informative. I've told you where to go. I've told you what to do. I've told you what to expect. But guess what? All that information just makes you a well-informed spectator. A well-informed spectator. And I want you to get your fishing rod wet. Now, you may not have noticed, we focused on 6 aspects of discipleship throughout these past few weeks. And now I'm telling you to go and do. God wants you to do, not spectate. Don't believe me because I'm saying it. Believe me because Jesus told you. He's telling you to put your own rod in the water instead of watching people do it on TV or telling other people how they should be doing it. You're not called to spectate as others live out their life as a disciple. You are called to be a disciple. So that's what I saw was the problem. This is the solution we came up with. The staff and the shepherds have prayed over something called modern disciple challenge cards. All right, modern disciple challenge cards. And there are 6 different challenges. And they're all mixed together in envelopes, and you don't know what's in them. Okay? Now, when I first brought this, had this idea, I was talking about it. Someone said, you should let people know what's in them so that there's no crazy thoughts. And I said, what could they be thinking of? Someone said, well, what if you said, sell all your possessions and be homeless? And I said, well, I wouldn't put that in there. But to assure you that these are doable, I'm going to tell you everything, all 6 of them, all right? We're going to see all 6 of them, and then we'll talk about what this means. So the first one is on evangelism. We are called to share the gospel with the world. You are surrounded by friends and neighbors and coworkers every day. So within the next 2 weeks, invite someone who does not go to High Point, who does not go to church, to come to High Point with you. This is not sheep stealing. If you have a friend who goes to another church, let them be at that church. This is for you to grab people who don't know anything about Jesus, who have left the church. And if that seems too difficult for you, I included an invite card in that envelope. You put your name on it, you put your phone number on it, you tell them which service you're coming to, and that is your invite. You can hand it to them. Please use words as well. The coworker, a neighbor, a waitress, someone who does work at your house. In the next 2 weeks, invite them to High Point. The second card is on prayer and fasting. Some of you got nervous when I said the word fasting. For the fall semester, so until Christmas break, during that time, we are called to pray and fast regularly. So what I'm asking you to do is commit to skipping one meal a week. One meal a week. And during that time period, pray for the students that are in the school system that you live in and the teachers that are in that school system. And I want you to take a prayer journal and I want you to write what it is you're praying for every time and see how that grows in the next 5 months. The third one is hospitality and fellowship. We are called to do fellowship with other Christians. So find someone at High Point that you don't know that well and take them out to lunch or dinner after church and get to know them. Get to know each other. There are people who go to church here. We have 2 services. There are people who go to church here that you probably don't even know go to church here. This is a family. I want you to spend time with your family as we are called to do. The fourth one is on Bible study. We're called to study the Word of God. If you get this one, I'm asking you to commit to a Sunday school class or a group at the table, which is our Wednesday night Bible study for the fall semester. All right? And that may sound daunting, but if you go to hpf.org/moderndisciple, every class we are offering for the fall is listed for you. For Sunday school, we have a marriage class. We have a Psalms class. We have a Women in the New Testament class. Those are the 3 that we're offering this semester for Sunday school. And on Wednesday nights, we have a class on Ephesians. We have a class on continued discipleship. We have a women's class on the book of Proverbs in everyday life. Pick one and commit for the semester. The fifth one is care for the needy. We are called to care for the needy, and I want you to commit to helping at 2 Hearts for the Homeless ministry events in the fall semester. The options are listed on the website. Go to it. Pick one. Hearts for the Homeless does 2 things a month minimum. You're talking 12 options in the next 6 months, and you only have to do 2 is all I'm asking. This is cake, people. These are steps. Not the end all. The last option is daily Bible reading. I would like for you to commit to reading the entire New Testament before January 1st, which sounds daunting, I know, but if you go to the website that's on the card, I put together a 120-day read the entire New Testament checklist. It is mainly 2 chapters a day. You can do this. And my goal with this series is not to tell you that God has called you to be a modern disciple, but to give you the right steps to do that. This card is between you and God. There are baskets at all the communion stations. Inside those baskets, these cards are mixed up in blank envelopes that you don't know what it is. And what I'm asking is, during this last song, if you want to commit, if you think you might want to commit, grab an envelope out of one of the baskets and take it home with you and pray over it, because that's the one that the Holy Spirit God has given you. Pray over it. And if you decide, I'm willing to do whatever's in this card, only then do you open it. You only open it if you commit to doing it, because God has put the right card in your hand. And I'm not going to come to your house, check on you, how much you've been fasting, which Bible you want, which Bible book you on. You know, why hasn't Ebony seen you at Hearts for the Homeless yet? I'm not going to do that. This is between you and God. If you commit something to God and you don't follow through, that is also between you and God. So God has called you to be a disciple, not a spectator. Own it. Own it. Take the step. Take the card. Take it home. Pray over it and open it if you're willing to do it. I want you to not be a spectator anymore. You now have all the information. You now have a challenge. It's up to you to actually be a disciple. You want a card, please come during this last song. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for Matthew chapter 10 and all it gives us. And I pray that we can use this information not as a crutch to say, y'all, this is how you should be doing this. This is how you should be doing that. But to give us information on how we're supposed to be living our lives. Pray that we can be the disciples you asked us to be. I pray that we can be the Christians you want us to be. I pray for everyone that picks up a card. Everyone who comes back next week saying, I should have grabbed a card. Because I'll have them then too. Thank you, Lord. It's in your son's name, amen.